Mental Health Monday
on Radio City Talk
with Mick Coyle.
Tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.
This is Radio City Talk, Liverpool Live. My name is Mick Coyle and today is World Mental Health Day. And to coincide with the date, the government has revealed a series of measures to tackle the issue of poor mental health, including the appointment of a new suicide prevention minister and something else that's been long called for, more support for children in schools. Today on the show, we can show you how important that support is and what difference it can make to young people's lives. I've been speaking to a 15-year-old girl who has been self-harming since the age of just six. She's been telling me her story, and we started by discussing how people view mental health overall.
It's kind of in between, really, because obviously young people probably do have more of a sense about mental health, as it's mainly based on social media, so the older generations probably won't even like get an idea of it. But yeah, I think younger people probably do have more of an open mind about mental health.
Now, in terms of yourself, I've got here almost an essay that you wrote about mental health. Was it something which you were working on? Do you think, oh, I need to write something down? Was it a school project? Did you just think, hang on, I need to get some of these ideas on a piece of paper?
I wrote it for my English language exam because on paper two, you've got a speaking and listening, what you've got to do. So you have to write persuasive speech about something, and mental health is something I'm passionate about, not just because I suffer from it, but it's a massive topic that's obviously really serious and something needs to be done more about it. So I wrote it for English language, and
it's a really eye-opening piece of writing, and we're going to hear some of it as well in regard to you being able to sort of talk us through it as well. There's loads of different issues raised within it as well. You've got a copy in front of you. I've got a copy myself as well. So you're a multi-published author officially now. Do you want to read us through maybe the opening paragraph to give us a sense of the themes? And then we'll touch on some of the themes within it. Take as long as you need. Take your time as well. There's no pressure on this at all.
Right.
This is something she put together for an English language paper. She's going to do it on the radio for us.
Imagine if society blamed people for being diagnosed with cancer. Just imagine claiming it was our life choices led to such a terrible disease. Horrifying, right? Imagine putting the added burden, that shame, onto someone who is fighting for their life. This happens every day, and each day is a constant battle between that person and their inner self. So it isn't just victims of cancer, but victims of mental illness too.
I think we can carry on. Would you like to carry on?
I'll happily carry on.
Go on.
The fact that one in four people suffer from some sort of mental health, whether that's depression, anxiety, or some sort of disorder, such as a mood disorder or an eating disorder, this stigma causes severe harm by dehumanising those who have mental disorders, making it harder for the mentally ill to admit their symptoms to others and seek treatment, as they may feel ashamed and alone. Don't you think it's already hard enough? This is a very common problem worldwide. A death by suicide happens every 40 seconds, so even during the speech, innocent lives are being taken away consistently. It's not because they want to die, but to end the pain within.
I mean, that sets it up very nicely for us, and well done for that. I thought you were absolutely excellent reading that out as well. You're very young, but obviously, you know, touching on suicide and being aware of suicide as an issue as well, these are sort of adult themes, if you like. Do you get a sense that even at your young age, these are things which you feel the need to be clued up about and maybe other young people need to be aware of?
Yeah.
And in terms of putting those things, writing them down, when you started writing them down, did you find it to be almost a good experience putting it down onto a piece of paper to sort of getting the thoughts out of your head, if you like? What was that like, writing it?
It's kind of always helped me with my mental health issues because I suffer from it. And writing it down and how I feel has always been easier for me to actually express to someone, like saying it how I feel. So by writing it down, it just helps because it's not like a face-to-face conversation, really.
In terms of your own personal journey as well, you talked about your own mental health. Where for you have been the issues that you've found in life so far in terms of your own mental health? What problems have you been living with?
It's just the fact, really, about my parents' divorce and my granddad passing. I've been bullied at school, and that's kind of all like led up to about my mental health. And it's just, and it's like social media as well. You see all of these like women and all younger women, like the perfect body figure, really. And that just makes me feel as though, well, maybe that's what I need to look like. And it's just made me feel completely worthless within me.
Do you feel like sometimes you get bombarded by those sorts of images?
Yeah. because it's just social media in general. It's like pressurizing younger people, and like just not even younger people, it's older ones as well. Like just everyone in society makes them just feel pressurized, like, oh, that's what you need to look like. Because if you don't feel good in the eyes of the media, then you're just going to feel completely rubbish everywhere else.
Do you feel like the issues that you've faced in life have caused, have kind of put you into this kind of corner, if you like? Do you feel like those issues have led to this kind of situation and the way that you view the world? Because actually those issues that you live through, you know, other people will go through, they'll react in different ways, won't they, as well? Do you feel like very much that you become the victim of those circumstances, if you like?
Yeah.
And in terms of how it manifests itself, you touch on self-harm within the article that you've written as well. At what point, at what age was it that you first considered doing that?
Well, I first cut myself when I was 6 years old, and that was during my mum and dad's separation. But it also continued from year eight, like midpoint year eight, because of like bullying, and obviously because I was suffering from when my granddad passed, because that happened when I was 8 years old. And my mum never really gave me like a chance to grieve over. So that didn't help. Plus, obviously, with the bullying and everything, it just came back to me. And obviously, self-harming has then been a thing for me, how to cope with my feelings inside.
Six is such a vulnerable age for you to have been considering self-harm, of an act of self-harm at that age as well. Maybe gives people a sense of the issues that you were facing at the time. Was there a sense that you maybe weren't able, there wasn't enough people around you at the time to maybe tackle some of those issues at that age, and that led you self-harming once again when you got to that year eight period, which I'm guessing you will be 12 or 13 years of age?
Well, when I was six, obviously, because my nan and my granddad at the time were too focused around the stuff between my mum and my dad, I didn't really want to make things worse or anything. And then, obviously, when I was in year eight, again, I still didn't feel like I could tell anyone. It's just something I've been embarrassed about. So,
in terms of reaching out and putting things down, have things changed as a result of this? Has this been sort of, have adults been sort of made aware of what you're going through to the point where actually they're looking to offer you some help?
I am under CAMHS at the minute, and everything seems to be okay, even though it was like a rocky start at first. I have been to the doctors and the hospital. Again, that didn't really help, but doctors was the ones that referred me to CAMHS. So let's just see how things go.
Do you feel like there could be more help available to you?
There could be a lot more help, really. A lot more.
And in terms of your school environment now, your educational environment, have they been kind of made aware of what you're going through? Have they been able to sort of help you out in terms of your journey?
Student services from my school have helped me quite a lot. It's like a safeguarding team. So they have helped me a lot through mental health. And I have spoken to the school nurse quite a few times, but that's like probably back in year nine. And I was seeing a youth worker that did help me. That's like more of internet safety. So I'm not saying I haven't had the help, but I'm saying that they could do more.
And in terms as well of, you know, the situation that you found yourself in, I guess people might have been able to look at your situation and think, well, this particular person might be vulnerable because of their experiences. Let's make sure that we are, you know, speaking with that person and finding out a little bit more about their environment. It seems that a lot of what you've been saying is reaction to self-harm, reaction to your mental health, whereas actually it's not been about safeguarding you from an earlier point of view, of spotting potential signs and actually making a connection with you sooner. Is that something that you'd like to see, that there's sort of greater screening, if you like, of young people who might be at risk of self-harm or of mental ill health?
I do think that self-harm and mental health does need to be more like seen in the outside world, because obviously people, like, because you can't see it physically unless if someone who does self-harm isn't afraid to open up, then you don't really know it's happening, so people just tend to brush it off the shoulders as though it's not there. So maybe if like there was more like screening in the worldwide and people on social media helped or whatever, maybe celebrities even could come out and do stuff about mental health, then maybe it might be more of a topic there was talk about, and then people who do need the help might approach it a bit more.
Yeah, and you wonder whether or not that's going to come from the social media companies, or whether or not it's going to come from the schools, or whether or not it's going to come from the government. But from what you're saying, it's quite clear it's got to come from from somebody.
It's got to come from somewhere, just to start.
And in terms of yourself, at the moment, you're in the CAM system, but obviously you're looking for more help as well. Is this something, your mental well-being, that you're looking to pursue? That idea that, you know, you want to get yourself to a better place, that you can't change the past, but actually you're in control of your own future.
Yeah, I have been told you can't change the past, but you can learn from that to help with your future, really. But I do really want to be change from my mental state at the minute. So probably when I'm older, I want to become a journalist, which I want to help more with mental health. That's what I want to do.
Well, I can tell you it's a wonderfully fulfilling job if you get into journalism, particularly when you focus on mental health. And I think that actually if it is something you set your mind to, I think it's a path which you'll find wonderfully fulfilling as well. In terms of your aspirations for the future from the situation you're in now, do you feel like you're going to be a completely different person in a few years' time? Have you got a sense of hope that the pathway that you're on is going to take you to a different place?
At the minute, not really. I'm not going to lie. I just don't, at the minute, I don't see anything going anywhere at all.
And do you feel empowered enough to be able to let those people know that maybe the pathway you're on isn't the right one for you, and to maybe explore other pathways, or to ask them to help you explore other pathways?
If I had the guts to ask, probably. But at the minute, I'm just trying to just see what they can do first until I can step in and say, this isn't helping, I need to do something else.
Absolutely. Well, we wish you all the best as well. And I'd urge you to actually have that conversation as best you can, because if you can have that conversation, it might well be. And I speak to a lot of people who are in similar situations to yourself, that the pathway that they're on isn't the right one for them. It might be the right one for somebody else. And equally, a different pathway might just be, you know, one doorway, one phone call, or one internet search away from something else as well, if you go down the right pathway. So thank you for sharing the time with us today. Thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for reading part of your English language paper as well, which you wrote down on a piece of paper and you ended up reading it out on the radio. I think you did an excellent job. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.